station. In terms of the modernization project, we have finalized the RFI, and we are hoping to advertise by the end of this month. Moving now to actual performance. Actual performance. Starting with number of compulsory specifications or technical regulations. The annual target was 10 compulsory specifications. I think here, Chair, we have shot ourselves in the foot in the sense that we had had capacity challenges from the beginning of the year. We've been having two technical specialists in this area. It was foreseeable that this target will not be achieved with that number of resources. So we will be increasing the capacity of the technical specialists in that field to ensure that in the next financial year we are able to achieve on that target. Administer and review board decisions within 30 days, 100% in 30 days. Referring back to the what happened? Yeah, it came out. Referring back to the target on compulsory specification, the only new compulsory specification that we have submitted to the DGI is PB076 on service of lighters. And we have also submitted the four other duties which were for final gazetting. Yes. So if you look at the titles, we only report on the new VCs for first gazetting. So these four, other four we are not reporting on, but we have submitted them to the DTI. In terms of number of inspections, in our four main business units, we have achieved 4,706 inspections against a target of 4,345, which is a positive variance of 8.3. In terms of the food industry, we have achieved 100% inspection on all declared consignments and productions. As reported earlier on, the total inspection is 5,988. Number of inspections conducted on locally produced frozen products and canned meat. We have achieved 529 inspections against the target of 511, which is a positive variance of 3.5. In terms of approvals, the LOAs, that's an area that is still challenging for the NRCS. We have achieved 47% against a target of 90% of applications issued within 120 days. That represents about 1,742 applications out of 3,789 applications issued.
As you go along, Mr. Mamadisa, especially an issue like that which you've highlighted, indicate to us why the challenge, as you did, I think, with something else, you know?
Thank you, Chair. The challenge here is mainly in Electrotech, where we receive a volume much higher volumes of applications. And with the current backlog challenges, obviously the impact is felt overall when dealing with the applications. The other business units, they have peculiar challenges than the one we experience in the Electrotech. For instance, in CMM, the challenge there is the test reports. We have industry battling with getting compliant test reports from SAPS. It is a matter that we are still engaging SAPS with to try and assist the industry. If as a regulator we were not sympathetic to the industry, we would have closed all these applications to up our percentage in terms of performance. Similarly, in automotive, the issue there is the response from the industry. We have issued findings. The industry has been taking time to respond to those findings. We have given them 30 days now to respond, otherwise we will have to take a harsh step and close all these applications. In terms of the breakdown per business units, you will see that in legal metrology there are no challenges, as I said. The 100% applications were processed within 120 days. In legal metrology, again, on type approvals, we only have one application that was outside 120 days. And in CMM, although we are sitting at 35% of applications done outside the 120 days, it is outside our control. As I said, it's the challenge that the industry is facing, and we are sympathizing with them on that regard. Otherwise, we could close all those applications for non-submission of compliant test reports. In automotive as well, I've mentioned the challenge there. 90% of the applications were done within 120 days. The 3% that were not done within 120 days is mainly due to the industry. In fact, it's 100% due to industry not responding to the findings. In Electrotech, as you can see, the volumes as well, that's why if Electrotech performs, it will take everyone up. If it doesn't perform, it will take everyone down because of the volume of the applications that they receive. They have processed 1,895 applications outside 120 days, which represents percentage-wise, only 21% of applications were done within 120 days. But we are hoping that by the end of March, once we have resolved the processing or printing of the applications, the pending applications, then the percentage will be much, much, much better. In terms of the stakeholder communication, we have achieved 4 consumer awareness campaigns against a target of 3, which represents a 33% positive variance. On human resource, the vacancy rate is standing at 9.62. That is mainly because of the resignation that we have experienced in this quarter. I think also non-filling of the post that became vacant during the year. We are in the process of identifying all critical posts that need to be filled, and we will be filling those or advertising those before the end of the financial year. In ICT, the master plan is still on draft format. We have circulated the master plan to the IT steering committee, and they have made input and referred it back to the organization to review some and We're hoping to finalize that by the end of the financial year. Still on human resource, the staff complement, we have total of 300 comprising of 290 direct permanent staff and interns. We have 5 terminations during the quarter. 3 were resignations. 1 was a dismissal. 1 was a dismissal, and 1 was by mutual separation. That refers to the DGT, Chief Executive Office of the NLDS. We have settled the matter by agreeing on a mutual separation. Yes, amicable divorce, you can say. We have awarded, in terms of training of staff, we have awarded bursaries to the value of 350,000 to our employees. Coming now to financial performance. In terms of our total income, we have realized an extra income of 241 against a budget of 247. That is mainly due to the fact that our revenue streams that we budgeted for have not been realized wholly in terms of our levies collection services and other income. In terms of expenditure, the expenditure is standing at 225 against the budget of 275, which is understanding, of course, mainly due to testing and advertising. We haven't been spending on goods and services in testing and advertising. Also on compensation of employees, we have not effected actual living adjustment for the current financial year. Once we have resolved that matter, the expenditure will go a little bit higher in terms of that. We have realized a surplus of 15 million against a deficit of 28 million. The next slide will just show you the revenue stream per quarter. I will jump that. The actual revenue in Q3 comprised mainly of levies, which represented 46% of our income, followed by services and interest and levy audit. In terms of actual expenditure, you will see that we are sitting at 78% on compensation of employees and 22% on goods and services. The next slide will show you the expenditure per quarter in terms of the progress that has been made. The expenditure per goal, as we have indicated, we're spending 65% on our core function, which is the inspections, the maximization of compulsory specification and technical regulations. It's followed by infrastructure, followed by admin and marketing and communication at 2%. Progress on revenue qualification. We haven't made much progress in terms of addressing the AG qualification. That is because most of the things that we plan to do depend on the modernization process. The sooner we crack the modernization project, we'll be able to address some of these findings. The In terms of the internal control on modernization is key in addressing the aging findings. The SARS collaboration or the latest code will only be effective once you have a proper system in place to connect or link with South African revenue. On LOA conditionality, we still waiting again for the, we need to resolve the issue of the backlog first, and then we'll deal with the LOA conditionality to address. Backlog. Yeah, backlog. The legal opinion, we have realized that on our engagement with the AG, the AG has come on board to try and assist the NRCS in resolving the finding that has been made. We have scheduled a meeting with the AG in this month to try and look at the interventions that have been proposed by management together with the AG to see how we can best resolve the finding. In terms of the challenges, operational challenges, we have inadequate capacity. Yes. Inadequate capacity and relative unstable human resource environment. The application regulation of products covered under compulsory specifications that are outdated, that is relating to the capacity issues in that unit where we need to capacitate the number of personnel to review and amend our compulsory specification when the need arises. High transportation and storage costs for confiscated goods is also a challenge, especially with our port of entry strategy where we confiscate most of the goods in containers, and we have to bear the storage costs for those goods. Revenue challenges I touched on, and I think I came to the end of the presentation. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mamadou. I think just looking around me here, I realized at the time I'd welcomed the group chief operating officer. She wasn't here, and then I just see her here in a dirty skulk, and now she's gone. You know, so now you see her, now you don't. But I'm sure she'll be coming back. Am I correct,
Dee? Yes, apologies for her mention. She's just finalizing the NEF IDC matter, and that's why she had to just step out quickly again. Hopefully they'll make an announcement this afternoon about it. But.
Thank you very much, DG. Right. All right. I think one of the things just offhand we'll be wanting a clarification of is that HR and the, you know, the your actual profile here are the staff, which you referred to many times about soon advertising, soon trying to get up to the full complement, etc., etc. It's not very clear to me what posts are vacant, other than the full appointment of yourself, for example, and the CFO were acting at the moment. The rest are not very clear at all. And the other issue, person dismissed, which also comes into that particular area. And then the one around the AG, which you did make some reference to, around the issue of revenue collection. And I'd like to know if you are now saying that you're now working with the AG to resolve that, or you're not working with the AG on it because the systems aren't up and running So it wouldn't matter if the AG was there or not, the systems aren't up. You know, what is the actual issue that you are referring to on that particular one? And the slide 19, in which you talk about the compulsory spec submitted here and the electrotechnical, you did give some indication, but it's such a serious area, and one which NRCS itself has made us aware is a serious issue. We would need more information. But allow us to hear the issues raised by other members, unless you wanted another member of your team to contribute, CEO.
I'll give them...
Yes, I will give them the opportunity to respond this as soon as we get we get all the questions.
All right, let's do that. The members, as I say, let's start off with a quick round of 2 minutes each, and then we go on for a longer time. I see the Honourable Williams with a hand up, the Honourable MacPherson, the Honourable Van Schalkwyk at this point in time. Right, let's go.
Yeah. I've just got two questions. Firstly, I just want to know which automated company was in trying to import unsafe brake friction material, and for the 2 million rands that you did get, surely that's a small amount for an automotive, you know, they must be importing it to put on cars, and 2 million rands wouldn't cover many cars, so I'm assuming there's out there there's more of these brake friction material containing asbestos. Secondly, you said that you were waiting for modernization. It isn't completed yet for you to deal with the Auditor General's, you know, what the Auditor General wants you to change. I'd like to know, when will that be completed? You know, what's the process there? Because we can't keep just blaming these other things. You know, we've got to actually get on with fixing up, you know, the organization so that it is completely compliant. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Williams. Honourable MacPherson.
Thanks, Chairperson. I just want to refer the committee and Mr. Mamadisa to his answers to the portfolio committee about what percentage of applications were approved within 120 days. And you'll recall at the time, I said that this was one of the things that we really wanted to find out, and it had been omitted. For whatever reason, and I think we know why. Only 29% of applications are processed within 120 days. Now, when one looks at page 18, it seems to be a different story there, that it says that 47% of applications are approved within the third quarter. Or is that with the... Yes, okay, so that's the third quarter. So I'm just trying to understand that in a period of 10 months, you approve applications 29%, and within a three-month period, they're 47%. Why is there variation over the 10-month period and over the 3-month period? And why is it still so difficult for the NRCS to do one of its very basic levels of service, which is approving LOAs? Because in my mind, I still think and believe that when you get an LOA application, you don't necessarily start with it from the moment that you get it, but you leave it up to 110 days, 115 days before it starts being processed. And I'm still of the view that the 120 days actually was devastating for the NRCS when the minister changed that, because it allowed for backlog to start building from that very moment. And you know, I know that you've put interventions in place. I don't see it getting better. I don't know what, say, for February, what the percentage of applications being approved has been. And I'm just still not convinced, Chairperson, that things are getting better at the moment.
Thank you very much, Honourable McPherson. Do we then have the Honourable McGoldbeck?
Thank you, Chairperson. When looking at the non-compliance of products estimated at the 69 million rand, it's a great concern for me, especially with regards to the health and safety risk to the consumers on ground level. So I would like to know if you are monitoring this in terms of repeat offenders in this instance, and what are you doing in order to curb this and to eliminate it by giving punishable sentences or stricter measures, putting it in place in terms to curb this repeat offenders or first-time offenders for even in this instance, because it's all about the consumers on ground level and the protection of this, because if you look, it's about the imports of goods and services, and we shouldn't allow this. Thank you, Chairperson.
This point? Not yet. Right, so let's turn to the NRCS. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Williams, on the automotive company, the name of the company, we can establish that for you. I don't have it with me at the moment, but the consignment that we have confiscated comprising of goods of drugs to the value of 2 million is all the drugs that we have confiscated. There are no drugs that we are aware of by this supplier that are in the market. In terms of the modernization and the RFI, we and the AG, the modernization project has picked up slowly in terms of the progress. As I've indicated, we are planning to, we have finalized the specifications. They've been through to our ICT steering committee, and we targeted to advertise that by the end of this month. Again, Honorable Chair, on HR issues, what posts are vacant and so forth, the vacancies of budgeted posts we have 29. Most of them, they are in management. We have the General Manager Automotive vacant. We have General Manager CMM vacant, and General Manager National Building Regulation vacant. Building regulations. General Manager Research is also vacant. So those are some of the positions that we think are critical and we need to fill as soon as possible. But we must also bear in mind that as an organization, we are in a process of reorganizing ourselves. Sort of, we are in a process of instituting a structural review of the organization to ensure that we are well placed and capacitated to deliver on our mandates. So, we don't want to, at the same time, fill all the posts while we are still embarking on this process of reorganization, because we might be filling positions that we would not necessarily need in the new structure. So we are very cautious. We are trying to balance between reorganization and having the organization performing at an optimal level. The engagement with the AG on the revenue qualification, we have thought as an organization that we although we have proposed some of the interventions to address the AG qualification on revenue, we thought it is prudent to have AG to engage with us on this proposal before we can even go further. If we're saying that modernization is going to resolve the AG qualification, is it so from AG's perspective? Because we might as well invest in modernization only to find that we are still faced with the very same qualification. So the engagement with the AG are on that basis, that we are on the same page in terms of the measures or interventions that we will be putting in place to address the AG finding. I think you raised the question on slide 9 on LOA 19. I think the same question is linked to the question by Honorable McPherson in terms of the progress that has been made in the LOAs. I think we must appreciate that we have come a long way in terms of resolving the LOA's backlog in electrotech in particular. The backlog has been building for over a number of months until we have employed these interventions. With these interventions, we have managed to process almost 90% of all applications in our system. Some of these applications are waiting for the investor to respond. We could have closed those applications where we find that they are not compliant in terms of the submission of the relevant documents. But we realized that it would be pointless to close an application that we took 200 or 180 days to look into. Let's give an investor opportunity to also address some of those findings before we can employ the cancellation policies. So, of course, in terms of the progress measured in terms of percentages, yes, is not yet visible. But by the end of the financial year, you will see a major improvement in terms of the percentage of applications that have been approved and issued. Honorable Van Skalvik, in terms of the measures that we employ to sanction non-compliant products, we are confined by the Act in terms of the National Regulator for Compulsory Specifications. Our powers are to issue a directive for the products to return to the country of origin or for the product to be destructed. The prosecution thereof is a separate arm of our law, which is Department of Justice, the police, and so forth. Unfortunately, we don't have control on that. Sometimes you will go and open a case for non-compliant products, the police will tell you, no, we have serious cases to deal with. We can't be dealing with paraffin stoves that are not compliant. Those are some of the challenges, but we are trying to resolve that in terms of engaging our law enforcement agencies, trying to educate them about the importance of dealing with prosecution of offenders in this category of non-compliant products. Thank you.
Were responded to, is this correct? Thank you. There are a couple of others. I did ask about the dismissal, and I was very specific. I asked for the name. But the other issue while we're here, of course, we need to congratulate you. When we first paid our first oversight about 5 years ago or so, the issue of tires was raised. And I must say, you know, to see that it's now in the final gazette is really heartening. See, we have moved in that direction, because that was the cause of many accidents. But what lighters are you referring to, the braai lighter or the so-called cigarette lighter? I have no idea. They're all called lighters. Okay. The third issue is you referred to costs that were increased, and one of the reasons you gave was the abandonment of goods, you know, by the person who'd ordered or purchased. Exactly why are goods just abandoned? Have they been paid for? Haven't they been paid for? Or what? Thank you.
On the dismissal issue, the person who was dismissed was, I think it was an inspector or a sampler.
Yeah,
a sampler, yes. Yeah, it was a sampler. He was dismissed for fraud. And, yes. And then in terms of the lighters, it's a combination of both cigarette and dry lighters. It's a combination of both.
Ignorance, but I've seen people in the braai using something that looks like white wax.
Yes.
That's a far, far cry from a lighter, as it were,
yes,
which is a flick. You know, they're two different. They're two different types of things.
Yes, yes. In terms of the, what we are saying, that in terms of the number of non-compliant products for lighters, we have discovered both cigarette lighters and
one made of wax.
Yes. I can't say for sure or what kind of lighters were they found, but it's a combination.
Yeah, well, I'd like an explanation, because there have been serious burns to babies from the latter, from the lighter. I want to know exactly what lighter we're referring to, because this was raised at the time.
Okay.
So, you know, as you say, you'll come back to us on that particular one.
Yes,
am I correct?
Yes,
yes,
we'll come back to
Thank you
on that particular. The abandonment of consignment with part of entry strategy, where we kept the containers at the port of entry, there is a trend by importers and suppliers that the, when they realize that the confinement is non-compliant, for fear of prosecution and so forth, they abandon the products. Yes. Yes.
A couple of other issues which we may well come back to you in writing on when we study this, because what we'd like to do with the NRC is effectively to put it to bed, you know, as it were. And as you know, issues around the whole Ford Kuka issue have come out. And I think it's best we put this in writing so that you're given the time to respond. But we don't, we've seen you 5 years, I think this is the fifth time now, in I'd say 10 or 12 months. Not you personally, but you know, the NRCS. And we really want to see the NRCS saying, right, now, we've dealt with these issues, we only need to see you once a year, do you see? And we don't appear to be there yet. Even your own comments about systems not yet up, and that's one of the main reasons for you not being able to make these this progress you yourself want to make, and also the issue around the 120 days, which we learned last year was calendar days, you know, and not working days. So it's important for us to respond to the people of South Africa, business people, that this is the issue and this is your commitment. I am concerned, and I say this to the DG as well, about the people who, you know, the posts that are vacant, the 4 or 5 general manager posts, because that's not a new issue. And it is something that I know that poses a challenge in this entity itself. But let us leave it there for the moment, and allow me to thank you, Mr. Mamadisa, you and your team. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right, I did sort of acknowledge you in your absence, Ms. Scott. All right. Okay. All right. Members, I just want to come very briefly to the program. As you see, it is now 20 past or so, and we have concluded, as it were, the business of the day. I made a reference, though, to Friday in as I opened up the committee. I want to just clarify that that applies to February as we are now, and then, of course, the program will begin in, you know, as it were, to be passed by Mr. Froelich in for March onwards. But just to remind members who may have forgotten that there was scheduled on the Friday the 17th, the briefing on the performance, etc., and also the Advisory Center on World Trade Organization law and a consideration of the minutes. Effectively, that would address it. With the exception of, I'd like to hear from members, maybe by email, some of the challenges they may experience with respect to dealing with legislation on a Friday, just Friday after Friday after Friday. The challenge we have in finalizing a program is that Thursday nights can extend in the half. However, we do have a Thursday afternoon while the House is sitting available. But for that, we need to get an agreement from the House Chair on the matter. But we will come back to members on this issue so that we utilise the Friday effectively. Thank you, Honourable Macpherson.
Thanks, Chair. Is there no way that we can write back to the House Chairperson and make a request that we're afforded Wednesdays again, you know, to deal with these sorts of matters?
As I say, Honourable Macpherson, we have done that, but of course we will again do it in the beginning, you know, 2017. It is another year. I think everyone, you know, you've expressed the sentiment of everyone here in the committee. So we will continue to pursue it. All right? And can you please let me know, those of you who have what I call your party political commitments, which your party insists you meet, please give me some notice on that, not this week, you know, just not in the same week, but a week ahead, so that we can take that into account. Honourable Van Schalkwyk.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would also like the members to be reminded that some of us have other committees that we are having on a Wednesday. So most probably it won't be possible to have a committee meeting on a Wednesday.
Yes, no, that issue did come up as well. So we need to take look at it holistically. Right. On that, just a minute, Mr. Medema, do you want to talk to the committee?
No, I actually just wanted to remind members and I mean the guests that they say register circulating, you can't see where it is.
The register, have you not got the register?
No, the guest one.
Oh, the guest one. Yes, please, can we have that back? Thank you very much. Is there anything else, Mr. Medema? Right, thank you. Meeting adjourned until Friday when we are due to start at 8:30. Thank you. May I also thank you, Mr. Williams, Honourable Williams, for acting as chair during my absence and welcoming back our new mother,